Well, sometimes they have to kill us. They have to kill us. Because they can't break our spirit.
Look, I don't have to do this.
You don't have any choice.
I'm trying to help you people. Now, why won't you accept that?
It's in our DNA. You have to do what old man says.
What makes you such a threat?
We choose the right to be who we are. We know the difference between the reality of freedom and the illusion of freedom. There's a way to live with Earth and a way not to live with Earth. We choose the way of Earth. It's about power, Ray.
You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Anahuacis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Friends, this is your co-host, Will Bluewater. Join us now to learn how to legally worship using indigenous earth-based healing and empowering ceremonies. Aho. As Bluewater, seventh great-grandson of Old Tassel, first beloved man of the Cherokee, I'm remembering what Old Tassel said to the prevailing culture. Many proposals have been made to us to adopt your laws, your religion, your manners, and your customs. We have done so. Now it is time for our cultures to accept Old Tassel's ways and assisting us to walk in harmony with Mother Earth and Father Sky. Aho.
Grandfather, teach me the ways of the old, so that I may remember who I am.
Hello, can anybody hear me?
Yep.
Hello.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Right after I started the show, computer switched off. I had to reboot, restart, and so I do apologize. I moved the PC to a different room, and it wasn't plugged in properly. Anyway, tonight we want to welcome everybody to Prophecy Keepers Radio. Our guest is Gentle Thunder, and she has a special friend. Chief Delbert Black Fox has joined us. He's a great-grandson of Sitting Bull. And there's lots to talk about. We'll let you guys take it away. Go ahead, Gentle Thunder.
Aho. Good evening, everyone. Yafa'e.
Yeah, you know, it's been about a year since the last time I was on your show, and at that time I was known as Mayan Butterfly, and we talked about the sacred waters. Since that time, my work has shifted. Creator sent me out to Sedona, Arizona, to grid the land earlier this year in February. And there I spent 6 months working on the land, regridding it, and I actually thought that it was a mistake that I was being called upon, because I really didn't know what that meant to grid the land. All that was said to me, you know, by Great Spirit was that the land was greatly out of balance, and that we needed you to go and regrid it. And so, you know, with very little knowledge and just basically with my heart and intuition, I went and lived there for 6 months. So basically the best way I can describe it is if you can envision all the peaks as the frame of a dream catcher, and the land of Sedona, the valley, would be the web. So what I would do is go from peak to peak and cast a frequency. If you could see it, it would look like thread. And just cast that from peak to peak and crossing over. And basically that's the work that I did. And while I was working on the land, the ancestor spirit would start speaking to me. And then the imprints of the dolphins and the whales would show up. And it was quite a beautiful and unique experience that I had while I was there. So anyways, I do feel very honored that I was sent, and feel very humbled and really, really connected with Mother Earth, you know, in a way that I never experienced before in my life. And to really understand and hear all the elements, you know, the stone people, the plant people, the creepy crawlers and the wingeds and so on, was a very unique and beautiful experience for me. So at the end of August, my work was completed there, and you know, Spirit said, your work is done. And I said, well, what is it you want me to do now? And immediately, you know, the message came through that I was to work with Medicine Wheels. Earlier this year, our Eastern Shoshone brother by the name of Bavado, some may have known him as Rainbow Thunderheart or even Benny LeBeau, he spent a majority of his time here on Earth implementing Medicine Wheels globally. And I had the opportunity to work with him a little bit before he got very ill. So with what I know, and from what he taught me, you know, I honor that. I honor that message that came through to work with the Medicine Wheels, and also to help humanity raise their consciousness to take better care of Mother Earth and take better care of themselves and each other. And so that's my work. And the name Gentle Thunder came through while I was working on the land. I was just finishing ceremony with a medicine woman by the name of Tuka from Mount Shasta. She came out for a visit, and we were just leaving Courthouse Butte, which is near Bell Rock, and she said, a new name is coming to you. And I was quite taken by that because, you know, I was known by Mayan Butterfly for quite some time and named it Jose Federico Munoz had given me. And so I was very, very surprised and a little bit in awe and shocked. But I braced myself, took a deep breath, and you know, the name came, and I was just like, wow, new name. So let me sit with this for a minute, because that was like being adopted, whole new name, whole new identity. But I honor that name, and I'm very grateful and very humble that the ancestors of the Sedona gave me that name. So, hence, Gentle Thunder. Sometimes I bring a little gentle rain with me when I travel, a little gentle right. thunder as well. So, you know, so that's what I'm doing now. And, you know, I started implementing the medicine wheels along with Grandmother Abril. She joined us out at the portal of the New Earth a few weeks ago. And so we were at the One Love Festival, started there with the medicine wheels, and then well-received. And then we moved to the portal of New Earth, And then we just completed 2 weeks ago at the Star Knowledge Earth Shift Conference. Now, the Star Knowledge, that was their 20-year anniversary, but it was the first time for Star Knowledge to merge with Earth Shift. And it was in the Desert Hot Spring. And it was beautiful. It was powerful. I got to meet Chief Light Golden Eagle. And, you know, he carries a lot of wisdom with him, and along with a sense of humor, which was greatly appreciated. And I got to meet Mary Lightweaver and a lot of other beautiful people, you know, that are trying to share with others about the prophecies and the ways and, you know, keeping the songs, you know, keeping the songs fresh so they're not forgotten. And, you know, they even brought their grandmother drum, which was beautiful. We had it in the conference room. So, you know, my life's been on warp speed a little bit. And straight from there, I went to Mount Shasta. And from Mount Shasta, I went to Santa Barbara for the Tribal Trust Foundation's gathering at El Capitan in Chumash Land. And then I finally made my way back home Monday. And now here in Encinitas, we just finished a water ceremony with Chief Black Fox, who is a great-great-grandson of Chief Sitting Bull. And I'm very honored and privileged to invite him to be here on the Prophecy Keepers radio show tonight. He's got some very special messages for Standing Rock and song as well. So if I may, I would love to hand the phone over to him.
Absolutely.
Okay, I hope.
Hello, are you all good? Palco, Pilamia for coming on the program. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing fine. It was really, really nice coming over here on this side. We were over at the East Coast over in, West Virginia, and then Asheville, North Carolina, Nashville, South Carolina, Clemson University. We went over there, talked to a lot of people about, you know, what was going on with the pipeline, and everybody was like really didn't really know what was really going on, and we brought the awareness over there. And after that, we came across over here to San Diego and spreading the word over here about, you know, what we're doing up there in Standing Rock. So it's been a journey, and it's really good. It's a good journey because we get to meet, you know, a lot of really good people, and same time, you know, share songs and prayers and everything else, you know, and the importance of the spirit of the water, you know, how it reflects to everybody and everything. And, you know, what we're doing, you know, I got my son here, Robert, you know, he come along with me, and what we're doing is, you know, like we tell people that we are the voice for the ones that are the four-legged, the ones that are in the water, the ones that are taking care of our air, and for that rock and for the tree and for, you know, all these elements, you know, that can't speak the language that we speak, you know, somehow, some way they speak to us, but only very few people can understand that, you know. And we pray, you know, we pray a lot over here and on our journey about being able to do the voice, you know, be the voice, the ears, the legs, the arms, the heart, the mind for them, you know, to spreading the word about the importance of what that water means to us, the Niwichoni.
Yeah, Native community's been through a lot, but there's been some astounding things that have been happening since August. I was reading an article from the sheriff up there, and it's really interesting. They're not planning on giving up anytime soon.
Oh yeah, and neither are the people. The people, you know, we're like the tree that's in the water. We're not going to move, you know. We're going to stand strong for, you know, for what is right. It is our right as a human being, you know. And that water should be flowing freely into everybody's home. You know, nobody shouldn't have to pay for that water, because that water is medicine. If you go to the hospital, the doctor is going to give you medicine, prescribe medicine for you so you can go home and take that medicine. That medicine goes into your home. That's the same thing with this water. This water should flow freely through our home because our children need it. Our grandchildren need it. You know, you stop that water like that, it creates sicknesses. You know, and that water should always flow like that to everybody.
Well, it sure has grabbed the attention of the whole nation, and everybody's astounded at how the nations have come together, and it really is surprising, you know, given what I've seen in the last 30 years, everybody would come together like this. Appreciate everything you do.
Thank you. The United States, you know, they went around, they created all these wars, which they were telling people they were trying to make world peace, something like that. But that didn't work. And the way that us Native people, the way that we believe in the Great Spirit, we believe in that love. That love, and that's what's going to create this balance in this earth. Is that, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are really racial, you know, they look at each other, the color. But you know what? Those animals and all of these elements that we use in our everyday walk of life, they don't look at us as color. They look at us as human beings. But it's hard for us as human beings to understand that, you know. But now today, that Nini Uchoni, Water of Life, you know, is bringing that back, that love to the people. And now everybody's beginning to understand that, you know. If you go to Standing Rock, you go there like that, you get up in the morning time, you look around like that, where you see all different nationalities that are standing up for what is right with this water. I mean, it's really, really beautiful, you know, to see that. And that's what's going to heal this earth. And it took that water to go and use its knowledge to go and bring us together and to be able to do that same prayer, you know, with each other. And if you see all those children, the grandchildren, all of different nationalities playing together, enjoying life and standing up for that water, you know, that's really beautiful. You know, that's, you know, the words cannot explain that.
Well, if there's anything worth fighting for, it's certainly water. And got a lot of people worried, you know, based on the track record of what's going on in this country. And, you know, if everybody just do their jobs and, you know, not try to cut corners and you know, take care of maintenance problems, but that's not the way corporations in this country work. I hadn't been that way in a long time.
Well, you know, Otter, this is reminds me of some of the things he was saying. That one of the things some of the Hopi elders said was, they said there would come a time when people across the world would realize that their leaders weren't taking them to peace.
Yeah.
And when they realized that peace with these leaders was more or less hopeless, then they would unite together and they'd go for it themselves.
Yeah.
And I think what's happening here and other things that are occurring in our world right now may be a fulfillment of the things that they talked about.
Yeah. I'm glad you're such a good student of the Hopi philosophy, because, I mean, I used to kind of be a half-assed student of it, but we sure appreciate you're a real scholar, fella. This program would be the same without you.
Thank you.
Well, I'm just trying to honor passing on, you know, some of the things they shared and traditional values and the way they saw things, because they were just doing the best they could to try to get us into a fifth world that was, you know, peace versus, you know, annihilation and destruction. So they, you know, they were watching everything crumble around them too, and they were kind of depressed about it. But they said, you know, you have to remain hopeful, and you have to look out for things in your life, you know, great adventures and things can happen to you on your way to getting to where we need to go. So
yeah,
I think that was good advice. You know, we have to remain hopeful and remain strong together, united.
Yes, you know, there's something that my grandmother and my grandfather said to me a long time ago, and we were in a ceremony, and my grandmother said, if every man and every woman can look at each other with the tears that come out of their eyes and the color of water, she said, there will be no color. We will all be human beings. That's what she said.
Yeah.
You know, if we could realize that, if we really think about it, you know, feel that, you know, we could probably do that. You know, we could probably live that kind of a life. And the government, you know, didn't have those kind of things going on, you know, their kind of life, you know, like that. They just know about controlling, you know, controlling it and all that. So.
Yep.
So, you know, that's just the way, you know, they tried that. But you know what? They should have just let nature show us how to bring world peace to each other. And the water is doing that. And the animals are taking care of that, too, to even feel what we're doing. Because the eagles were flying in front of us. When we were going to the front line, the eagles were right there above us, flying with us. And when we got done over there, we were coming back, and the eagles were following us again. I wasn't up there at the time, but, you know, when Dapple, they all started, you know, lining up, you know, trying to scare everybody. You know, here comes the buffalo, you know, from behind them, over 1,000 buffaloes, you know. They freaked out. They didn't know what to do. That's Mother Nature. That's these animals. They're trying to show us. They're trying to, you know, they're protecting us. We got to really realize this stuff. This stuff doesn't happen every day. You know, this is awakening for everybody. You know, it's like, wow, you know, this is our life. This is our, you know, why is the government doing this to us? We could take back America. We can run it the way that, see, we got all the eyes around the world that are watching on what kind of decisions we have to make. And our decisions are to be able to take care of that water and make sure that there is that generation that's going to come. The seventh generation is what Crazy Horse, Sidney Boo, Gall, Rain in the Face, all these prophecies were talking about what's going on right now. And it is awakening for everybody. You know, burn cedar, burn sage, you know, bless yourself off. You know, thank God. Get up in the morning time, get that water, pray with it, put that spirit back into you. You know, we all need to do that. We all need to start, you know, thinking about that and wake up with a good feeling, you know, being able to understand those animals. Yeah. And everything, you know. That's just the way I feel, you know. I'm pretty sure that, you know, it would help, you know, other people too.
Yeah, well, it does, especially, you know, where I live, I don't have a lot of contact with the native, you know, community except through this program. And occasionally I'll get out. As I get older, you know, it's harder to get out. But what you just said and what Mark said, it really helped me on my walk at this time.
Yes, that's good. I'm glad, you know. And all the ears out there, too, I know that they can feel that, you know. They understand it. They just have to, you know, get back to it and, you know, start putting it back into their life again, and it'll be better. And once we start showing that to other people, they're going to start following, too, you know.
Yeah.
We just got to spread it. You know, no matter what they throw at us, they can get mad at us, they can hate us, do whatever, throw rubber bullets at us, tear gas us. And that young woman that, you know, I guess, you know, she lost her arm or, you know, I really feel bad about that, you know, and her family and everything. And her dad is trying to, you know, make a voice out there, but, you know, the government's not going to do that. You know, they owe all that money, all that oil and everything. They're going to sell it to another country. And then if they break that here in America, they probably have their fancy home somewhere else, you know. And us natives, we have no other place to go, you know.
Yeah.
We can't go anyplace else. This is our home. So, you know, this is where we make that stand. You know, and other people are seeing it too, you know. But we are the example to the other countries out there. The other countries are going to say, wow, those guys did that to the government? the United States government without a war like that. You know, the government don't even know how to fight this kind of war because it's with the prayer. It's something they don't know about, you know. I mean,
yeah.
Shame on them. They should be teaching that in their school, and they wouldn't be having all these problems, you know. They should be teaching their kids how to plant food.
There's only one person I know that's teaching this, and unfortunately, you know, he's considered, you know, to be on the right wing or be crazy. But Glenn Beck, you know, is the only person that's been teaching about, you know, approaching things like Gandhi did and to find consensus with people and to hold people up to their responsibilities and you know, I know there's been incidences of violence, and there's, you know, there's got to be, because it's hard to contain the anger. By the way, I didn't hear the young lady that lost the arm. Did she lose it during the protest?
What's that?
The young lady that lost the arm.
Concussion grenade, I believe.
Oh no, I haven't seen that reported in the media. Isn't that just right?
Huh. Oh yeah.
They were kind of following procedures or whatever, and, you know, just try to, you know, make it look like we didn't really do anything here. But that's my understanding, is she got hit by a concussion grenade, which you're not really supposed to be tossing that directly at somebody.
No, just like the SWAT team wasn't supposed to be at the wrong address, and they throw it right in a baby's crib, you know.
Yeah,
I guess,
that's right, yeah.
They shouldn't even be doing that at all. I don't care, rubber bullets or whatever, because
yeah.
These people don't have no weapons.
Yeah.
You know, I can see that there was a riot, that they were, you know, because, you know, some cop beat up somebody, you know, and then everybody goes on a riot. I could see them using that kind of force. But then they know that we don't have no weapons there. We're there. We're right there with our sage and our eagle feathers. Maybe we might be scary to them because we dress up like our ancestors, but that's our way of life. We don't have no religion. It's a way of life. And that way of life involves all of that water, everything, the corn, the meat, the fruit, the fire, all of that. That's our way of life. It's not a religion, you know. And they seem to forget it, you know. They forgot it, you know, but that's who we are.
Well, I think they're scared too, because what they're seeing is they're seeing a unification, and they're seeing numbers of people pouring in.
Exactly.
So they're scared of, you know, when you see huge numbers of people rolling in and they're all unified, even, you know, if they're not doing anything, just the sheer volume and numbers of them is starting to scare them, because they're starting to worry that, you know, this is going to get more and more attention. Numbers are going to get bigger and bigger, even people not there physically, but more and more growing support. And then pretty soon, you know, people will be talking to their congressmen, this, that, and the other, and putting in boycotts and all kinds of stuff, and putting enormous amount of public pressure on them not to do this. That,
mm-hmm.
That's, I think, what they're scared of, is that just more and more unity, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, what astounded me is a few guys have put up a GoFundMe page for, you know, some money to stay there that have over $1 million. I mean, my gosh, you know, and we got people pouring in from all over the world, you know, supporting this. And,
the whole thing that I think about all of this stuff, how we could do this unification and start trying to really make it right, is, you know, we gotta stop, you know, buying the products and putting our money into the banks that, you know, do that with, you know, helping out that situation. You know, we gotta just do away with that and just start going solar and all of that. And, you know, we're that far up into technology right now. We don't need that oil. You know, that oil probably used a little bit here for, you know, the car and stuff like that, but we don't need all of that, you know. And that's really going to drain Mother Earth and, you know, the big old cavity inside there. That's going to start something else, too. You know, they don't look at things like that, you know?
Yeah. Well, the way they've designed, you know, everything we do, you know, there's, you know, everything's plastic. That's all oil. You know, it's just,
that's just the way they design the world around petroleum. And but they don't want to spend the money to take responsibility for it.
I know. Yep. That's why, you know, I know that, you know, America is waking up now because, you know, see the cities right now, a lot of people don't know inside the cities, but, you know, they are making that noise inside the cities and people are beginning to wake up, you know, which is really good. I'm really, really glad about that, you know.
Yeah.
You know, they say that this is the land of the free and stuff like that. Us Native people, we were never free, you know. They locked us up on those reservations. This month here, November, is supposed to be honoring the Native people, and here they are shooting tear gassing and doing stuff like that to our people, you know.
Oh.
You know, all this stuff happened back in the 1800s. Why are they doing this again, you know? And, you know, it's just really time for all our people to wake up, you know, our human being people, you know, wake up. You know, they actually, you know, put, you know, saying that, you know, they actually make robots or something now. You know, that's why some of those people at Dapple, you know, they stand there with no souls or something. You know what I mean? You go there, you stand there, you look at them in the eyes, you know, it's like they have no souls. Really weird, you know?
Yeah,
we never see people like that. You know, we don't see some human beings like that. They're looking at us like that. You walk up to them, then they kind of flinch, you know. But the other ones just stand there and just keep looking at you. It's weird, really weird, I tell you.
Well, yeah, where do we go from here? You know, what's going to happen next?
Well, what's going to happen next is that. We're going to keep on doing what's right. You know, that's what's going to happen from here. And it's going to happen. That's in the prophecies, you know, from all the Native tribes from all over the place. And you know what, too? All those are tribes that the government has fought against. And there's a lot of chiefs on all those tribes, you know, and there's a lot of warriors on our medicine people. And a lot of them, they got killed off because of the government. But you know what? Their spirit is still alive because it's inside of those people that are standing up there and protecting that water. You know, something, you know. It's beautiful.
Yeah, well, you know, it's about time. There's always a flip side, a good side of things, and I really am glad to see that Native youth have got something to get behind because they need it, and we need heroes. And that's another thing Beck has been talking about. He's saying that, you know, he looks at prophecy and everything, and he looks at cycles, and we know that there are 40, 80-year cycles, and, you know, we're in the same cycle now as we were before World War II. And he said this generation that was born since the year 2000, he says they're going to save the world, and we've got to keep an eye on them and support them. And because, you know, the baby boomers like me, we're dying off. And so that's the best we can do is to support the millennial and let them have their head and help us find a way through. And then, you know, after we go into the spirit world, our job's not over. We have to continue to support the people here in mortality that have boots on the ground. And it's an eternal fight for good against evil.
Yeah. Well, I'm really glad, you know, I could talk with you all and everything. You know, my name is Albert Black Fox Palmani. I'm a Dakota. My mother is from up there in Standing Rock. There are people from up there. My dad, you know, is just down the river called Crow Creek Agency, Fort Thompson, South Dakota.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's where I come from. And under Chief Leonard Crow Dog, my uncle, but then, you know, he recognized me that way. And that's all I do is just try to
do good things, you know, with the people.
Where were you raised, Albert?
I was raised over there in Fort Thompson, South Dakota.
Hey, I was just curious.
Yeah, and after that, I kind of, like, started traveling around. I was doing iron work. I was doing skyscrapers. So I was all Indian team, like that. We kind of traveled around.
It's amazing how many Indians are do iron work.
Yeah.
Like, I've got quite a few Mohawk friends in New York. You know, they like to do that work. Gives them a sense of freedom, and they got good balance, so they don't have the fear.
Yeah, it's good. It's good, though. You know, a lot of Native people, you know, used to work those. One time they did something about National Geographic, and us, they were up there working on steel, and they were taking pictures of stuff. They call it Skywalker.
Yeah. Well, Gentle Thunder, what do you, what's Spirit telling you to say?
Who's that?
I was wondering if, oh, I guess she's not, yeah, she handed you the phone, so she can't hear.
Well, one thing, Blue Water, that, you know, we talk a lot about on the show is how everybody make a connection with Creator, right?
Right.
And one thing that everybody listening to this show and wanting help with Standing Rock, and not just that, but everything going on in the world, is you can see yourself kind of as an extension to Creator, and then you can also see yourself as one with Creator. Either way will work, but the more you have that awareness and that connection, the more that you can take that awareness and connection and extend it to other people, anybody, and help them create a sense of balance within them and for them to establish and support their own connection, for them to be able to, you know, wake up and do what they need to do with themselves. So that's another very powerful thing to do to support other people.
Right.
You still there, Will?
Yeah, I had to. We've got a. I was trying to see who was calling in. Let's just put the turn on their mic. Air code 217. Who's calling in? Sometimes people call in and think they have to call in to listen, and I guess that's what they're doing. So we'll just leave. Hello. Anyway, yeah, I guess they're just calling to listen. Well, General Thunder, what's go ahead.
Well, Chief Black Fox would like to sing a couple songs.
Oh yeah.
For Standing Rock.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I've got him on speakerphone, so he has his hands free with the drum.
Good. Okay, the first one is without the drum. It goes off. Standing Rock, you and I, you and all, we,
We love and stand with you. Y'all know how you are. Y'all know you we know the way. Y'all know how you are. Yo, one of yo, we know how we, y'all know how you are. Yo, one of yo, we know how we, y'all know how you are. Yo, one of yo, we know how we, y'all know how you are. Yo, one of yo, we know how we, hey, y'all know, hey, yo, yo, one of yo, we know how we, y'all know how you are. Yo, one of yo, we know how we, y'all know, hey, yo, y'all know how you are. Yo, one of yo, we know how we, y'all know how you are. Yo, one of yo, we know how we, y'all know how you are. Yo, one of yo, we know how we, y'all know how you are. Yo, one of yo, we know how we, y'all know how you are. Yo, one of yo, we know how we, y'all know how you are. Many we chone, y'all know how you are. Yo, one of yo, we know how we, y'all know how you are. Yo, one of yo, we know how we, y'all know how you are. Yo, one of yo, we know how we, y'all know how you are. Yo, one of yo, we know how we, y'all know how you are. Yo, one of yo, we know how we, y'all know how you are. Our dear brothers and sisters of Standing Rock, yo, one of yo, we know how we, y'all know how you are. Yo, one of yo, we know how we, y'all know how you are. Yo, one of yo, we know how we, y'all know how you are. Yo, one of yo, we know how we, y'all know how you are. Yo, one of yo, we know how we, y'all know how you are. We love and stand with you. Y'all know how you are. Yo, one of yo, we know how we, y'all know how you are. Yo, one of yo, we know how we, y'all know how you are. Yo, one of yo, we know how we, y'all know how you are. Yo, one of yo, we know how we, y'all know how you are. Yo, one of yo, we know how we, y'all know how you are. Aho.
Uh-huh. Hey, you know, you're singing in Cherokee. You know, we've got a couple of permutations of the name of Creator. Yoah is not one of them. And, Black Elk, used to sing Aheya. That's another permutation. It seemed like, every other thing you were singing there, you're singing to Creator, you're invoking, Creator's name. It was just astounding. Really appreciate you. So you're going to do something with the drum?
That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah, and maybe my son here might want to do one, too. Here.
Sir?
His name is Robert.
Oh. Oh, Robert.
Hi. My name is Robert Pomini. I'm a Hunkpapa Dakota Sioux. Cruising around with my dad, raising awareness and, waking people up, helping them see what's going on up at Standing Rock, because we have some friends that are, in security and that work up there and stuff. So, yeah, but I too have a song. would like to share with you. Just sing away or?
go ahead. All
right. Okay.
Atenamichiko
Of creator's name got into your language, because you guys are singing, you know, yo, yo, yo. I'm going, wow. Okay, well, that's interesting. That's interesting.
Yeah, because there's a lot of different tribes. See, I went across, I went to 48 states. And inside of 48 states, I went to see different tribes. I met a lot of different ceremonies, you know, took in a lot of ceremonies. So a lot of the languages all pretty much the same. Like a lot of people say, you know what, we lost our language, we lost our culture, it was taken from us. But you know what, the next tribe next to them held on to a little bit, and so the other tribe next to them held on to a little bit. So
yep.
That language was still pretty much similar. So if they learn that language from both of them, they'll shift back their language, you know, their
yeah.
culture.
Well, my old friend Ed McGaugh, you know, I interviewed him several times years back, and he was firmly convinced that there had to be religious, spiritual communication between, say, us and the Celtic people, because the two ways of life were so very similar. And General Thunder, when you think the time is right, we do have three callers that are calling. I suspect it's Susan and some other people calling in. So let me know, and I'll open their mics when you're ready.
Sure, we're ready.
Okay. I'm going to open the mics. Let's see. Area code 217, your mic's open. Area code 507, your mic's open. Area code 831. And who do we have calling in?
Okay, great.
I'm one of the
Hi,
callers.
Go ahead.
I love yourself. The singing. This is beautiful. Thank you so much. Made my night. And the rain started pouring when the singing began. And this is Susan.
Hi, Susan.
Hi.
And this is Mary, and I'm in Minnesota, and the rains began here as well.
Wow.
And then Jamie, are you on? Are you there, Jamie?
Oh, my God. I'm here at Standing Rock, and it's raining here as well.
Great. See, there's no... Blue Water, if it's all right, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you who we've got on the phone.
Oh,
with
yeah.
Us. Is
yeah.
that okay?
Take it away.
Right.
Take it away.
Okay. Thank you so much. And blessings to everyone on the call. And before I begin, Chief Black Fox, I do have a question. Are you still looking for an Iroquois elder by any chance?
Oh, yeah. I'm looking for Iroquois. See, what I want to do is, like, there at the camp, I was telling before we left, is that if we can get an elder to go and speak with the children that are going to school there, a different tribe
okay.
each week or something like that. That's what I was, and at the time I was looking for an Iroquois elder. There was one there at camp, you know. But, yeah, we're always looking
okay.
for elders.
Well, the reason I'm saying that, and that's at the school at the camp, right?
Yes.
Okay, because I know that Noah, who's been our attorney down here, back and forth between Standing Rock and St. Louis, because I've been with Mississippi Stan for the last few months, Noah's wife has been working up there at the school, helping to organize it. We do have some Seneca elders up there. One just gave the Thanksgiving prayer a couple weeks ago, and if you'd
wow.
like, I could have them come and find you if that would be what you'd like.
Well, I'll be coming back up towards that way, I think, like in about a couple of weeks. So
okay.
I'm going to be running back and forth, but I would, when I come back up there, I'm going to be, yeah, I'll be there.
Okay.
You're going to be looking for them.
Beautiful. After all is said and done, if Blue Water, if you could just give him my phone number, that would be just great. I'd appreciate that.
Yes,
and then if, you,
that would be
if there's cool. anything I can do, I'd love to help. Okay,
yes.
So here's who's with us. We have Jamie. And Jamie is a medic and went up there with her husband, Chris. And I've had the blessing of being able to know them for a while now. They have helped with powwows and with other different ceremonies and things down here. And we just adore them. And they're both veterans, wounded warriors. Jamie was a medic in Iraq, and Chris was a chaplain's assistant. And they met in treatment, if you don't mind my sharing that. And so they are up there and just giving so fully of who they are and their time. And the medic tent, by the way, Blue Water, you'll appreciate this, was actually gifted by Forrest Liggett and Adam DeArmond. And so Forrest took it up there with a wood-burning stove and helped get that one all set up so that they had a place to work. And there's a lot of people I understand that are in there because I met a really cool guy who's actually where I have my home in Gila River Indian Community. He used to work there at the same time I was there, so that was really nice. So, but Jamie's with us, and she's phenomenal, and I've asked her if she would jump on and give us an update of what's happening from right there, because as you know, Chief Black Box, it changes from moment to moment. So with all the new things, I think it'd be good if we heard from her. And then Mary Lavin, Mary is a very interesting person. I'm not going to say too much about her, but I can tell you there's no one like Mary. She's not afraid to receive inspiration and to turn around and give it out to us. So I know that she's got a really strong message for us tonight. Mary and I was up at Standing Rock about, I think it was about a week and a half ago or so. I don't remember for sure, but we were up there together for a while. And so I just wanted to bring them on. And just for my little part that I would like to put in, and I thank Mac for asking me if I would like to say something, because I always have something to say, as you know, Blue Otter. I'm never short of words. But I did want to just put out that, you know, I've been watching what's happening, and particularly with the Mississippi Stand people. And when you were here, Blue Otter, we didn't know that across the river we had Jessica and her companion Frank setting up with Mississippi Stand, and that's when all of that began down here, where they were trying to prevent the boring under the Mississippi River. And so we've been through that whole thing, and the part that I would like to just speak to tonight is my concern as a grandmother. I'm Haudenosaunee, and I'm Hawaiian, and as a grandmother, my role is to protect the water protectors. That's where my greatest wrapping of my heart is going on right now. And so I've been in prayer for them and with them since Mississippi Stand opened up here at the Illinois-Iowa gateway. And my concern is that there is the undercurrent of people that are not there for the right reasons, the ones that we all support and believe in. And I don't want to be negative, but I just really want to call out to people that are listening tonight to focus your prayers and hold that for our camp and our protectors, that we're keeping anything that is not in prayer and ceremony and in the best of love and good support on the outside, away from what's happening. The elders are holding such beautiful space. That was the most profound part of it to me, was that you could literally hear a pin drop, I felt, because that feeling of spirit was so powerful because of the work that's been done. But there is that outside force that is trying to find a way in. And now with all these people that are coming up, we're having huge numbers of them coming, and I'm going to leave that to Jamie to talk about that. But I know that not everybody is coming with the same heart. And so if everybody would please just focus on that and keep hold everybody in prayers, our young people. And we all know, because we were young once, that, you know, we're so idealistic, and we're so we would give it all. And so we want to make sure that what they give, if they give it all, it's done in the best way and it's for the right reasons, and that we want to protect them. And so I know that I've gotten some people on my Facebook. I have thousands of people on there, but I've had people that are, and I can never get the word right, if it's trolling or trawling. Brad, my husband, was a lobster fisherman. He tells me it's trawling. But they're just going around and they're trying to find out who is related to the camp and who they can, you know, come through, and we have to be really strong. So that's my part, is just to really ask for prayers, that we know how powerful this is in terms of prophecy and changing our entire world. You know, it's it can never be underestimated. And so we will always have opposition in all things. And so we need to just hold that, especially those of us now who are on the rim, hold that as we go through this December 5th, you know, date of change up there. So now I can breathe. So with that said, if it's all right with you, Blue Water, and everyone else, I'll go ahead and I'll introduce Jamie next. And
okay.
We'll have Jamie give us the update from inside. Jamie?
Hi, Grandmother Susan. Hi, everyone. I'm blessed to be with you all tonight from Standing Rock. I am inside the camp, and I was a combat medic for your Corps of Army Engineers in Iraq. And I feel this very intently from both sides. I have been blessed enough to sit in a veterans meeting with some elder veterans who are calling for peaceful demonstrations. Inside that same meeting, I have felt some opposition from other veterans, and while we were praying when we crossed the river and prayed on Turtle Island, I felt an extreme break in solidarity. One entity wanted to storm the hill and aggressively engage with the police officers. In the meeting with the elders at the veterans meeting, they called for all of us to keep the peace, to help the young warriors who are mad and angry, and help us transmute that energy into love. And we did the best that we could with that out on Turtle Island. My husband and I both did. And it ended up a very peaceful ending, and that was a beautiful thing. Some people did get arrested at other locations, but what happened at that particular location was a beautiful ending. With December 5th coming and all the veterans coming, I do feel that there are infiltrators in this camp that are antagonizing our young warriors, wanting them to push the opposition and take back what is rightfully theirs. And I feel it so profoundly how bad they want this. And I also feel an overwhelming sense in the camp that they know that the prophecies are that we remain peaceful, and every elder here is trying to send that message loud and clear. And so I also ask for prayers on behalf of everybody here that they are coming in right mind and spirit, and maybe get them. I'm not seeing a lot of the young warriors defending the water protectors actually in the sweat lodges or ceremonies, and I think those are some places that if we've got elders in this camp that we can help them with, if we can get them to some ceremonies as well, and not just on the front lines, because they need a place to transmute this energy before December 5th. Because that many more influx of people coming, especially veterans, bless their hearts, we have the best hearts, but we also have a button that is pushed, and it can be pushed very easily, especially when we're defending people that we love. And I don't know that I feel comfortable. I know my husband and I we have brought our whole camper here and all of our life's belongings, which isn't much, but that's okay. We're going to back them out to the safe place of the casino. Not that I'm afraid of anything actually transpiring. I think that we have eyes around the world, and I think people are standing up in solidarity, and it's a beautiful thing, and I think we will be successful. But at the same time, I can't lose the little things that I do own to my government again. So, and I'm right on, my camper is facing Turtle Island, and I'm right there. So I'm going to pull back what I own, and we will be here. I have my medic bag completely loaded and ready to go. But I, in my heart of hearts, I don't feel we're going to need it at this point. but I do think that there needs to be a strong focus on transmuting some of this energy that is trying to rise up right now, because it is of still loving energy, but aggressive energy. And the elder's message just needs to keep coming clear, and we get them in and sweating or something, because like I said, there are infiltrators. I have felt them, and I know one in particular, and he is a veteran, and he is really trying to get the youth to storm that hill. And at the end of the day, that would be a very bad day.
Jamie,
yes.
Can you tell us how many veterans are there on the camp now?
I am not sure at this point. They have come, they have went. I've got reports that we had 500 coming from Illinois, and I'm seeing other reports from another veteran who they haven't even left yet, and he's talking upwards of 500 coming. Again, all hearsay, and at this point in camp, everything is so scattered with the last influx of people. I mean, they descended on right after Thanksgiving, and it exploded. So I have not got a good count on how many veterans are here at this moment.
Wow. But it's so cool because, you know, we were thinking, wow, cool, here comes the cavalry.
I agree they're the cavalry. I totally agree they're the cavalry. I just think that it is vitally important that the natives and the indigenous take control of this entity coming in and make sure that they're well educated, and they come in numbers, but they stand behind the water protectors because facing down the exact same people that you used to be, then poses that problem of everything you've the conditioned mind and the muscle memory, and they are antagonizing the policemen and even the militarized people up on the hill. They're antagonizing and laughing, and those are the exact same things that will set a veteran off. So as much as they are the cavalry and coming in numbers and with love, they are still loose cannons that in a sense. And prayer and mindfulness by the elders to take them aside and teach them quickly and the same way they did me will make this a much easier, I wouldn't say transition, but I mean it'll make the prophecy fulfilling come true, you know, because it has to stay peaceful, and these cops will know how to push these veterans' buttons. And so it's important that they get educated and pulled to the side, and they don't get to get on that front line, I don't think. I don't think that I feel comfortable with that many veterans on the front line, and I think the elders need to keep reiterating how peaceful this must be, because if it's not, the army will come and they will devastate this camp, and it'll be a bloodbath, and that's not what this is about. This is about fulfilling something bigger than ourselves and doing it in love and showing this world how we can do it that way. And so so far I have experience the love and the wisdom of these elders, and it is being passed around. I just really think that when they all arrive, they need to be pulled in, and maybe even the young ones who still have fight in them from Iraq, maybe need to not be on the front line at all, but back in camp, helping with camp, doing something in the camp, because again, PTSD is a trigger. It is not something that they can control, even in their best of intentions. If provoked and antagonized and made fun of and any of those things, it can set them off. And one going haywire can set the whole thing into a tragic event that doesn't need to happen.
Thank you, Jamie. Thank you. This is so... You're the perfect person to come on tonight and share about this. And I do know for a fact that 500 veterans left Rockford, Illinois yesterday morning on their way up. So I'm imagining that they're there by now. And my concern, not with that group, I'm not saying that, but my concern is that there have been several people that have come in through my pages, as I said, who are veterans. And in my, you know, I've 25-year prison counselor, so I'm pretty good at background stuff, and I know for a fact that the three that came through to me did not have good intention. They came up there, I mean, they're heading out that way with the idea that they're going to cause problems, and so we're just making note of that. I really appreciate it if anybody can get on Grandmother Circle, the Earth page, if you haven't already seen the young Hawaiian girl who spoke. She talked about how there is there are things set up in the camp to be able to identify people that are agitators and to deal with them. But again, as Jamie just said, they're just pouring in. You know, these the dynamics are shifting rapidly back and forth, and that instability can be the challenge. So I'm glad. Thank you, Jamie, for coming with us tonight, and thank you for everything that you're doing there for everybody, and thank you for your service, because our world is a better place because of you and your husband.
Hey, Susan.
Yes.
Hey, Susan, we have another caller. I don't know who it is. Area code 206, and their mic is live.
Okay.
Area code 206, you call. Hello.
Hey. Okay.
Yeah. Who's calling in?
Hi. Pardon? Oh, okay. You're welcome. How you guys doing? Am I on?
You sure are. You're on the air.
Okay. Yeah, I was going on. Well, I was asked maybe if I could share, I guess, with you guys. My name's Wambly Okichi Zay. My name's War Eagle, named after my grandfather by Frank Foolsgrove Sr. Santisu Yankton Chief, the Cha. I'm a Ruvidu. My grandma worked for her people in Rapid City for a long time. Her name was Eva Nichols. My uncle, his name was Ramon Ruvidu. He's quite the activist at his time. He practiced criminal defense in Rapid City for our family with many others, you know. We're all lineal descendants of Crazy Horse. I know that we have a son of Sitting Bull going to be on. But my part in all this is, I don't know. I guess my part is that, you know, a leader back home, you know, with I worked with Clifford White Eyes and Garver Goodplume for years, and we've seen kind of all these things coming there with the first original treaty council of He-Dog and Crazy Horse. So that's who I kind of represent, the traditional people. And for years, you know, there's always been this gulf between the traditional people and the IRA government people and then the traditional people who work for the IRA government. There's this rift, you know. It's always been there, and it's been, you know, through, you know, U.S. Indian policies and laws and a whole bunch of historical disastrous decisions, you know. And so, you know, my part in this is, you know, I rode and I've done a lot around the country. I guess I've been on this red road since I've been 24. I came into it later on in life after a serious addiction. And then I went to college and got my bachelor's degree in English and journalism and writing. And through those times, you know, I got to meet my people again, you know, our people. And it started like in the Great North Woods, you know, in Upper Michigan with the Anishinaabek people. They were kind of my first family, I always call them that, because I was kind of lost and they kind of showed me where I needed to go with God's help, you know. And it kind of brought me back around to a place that as a young kid that I wasn't able to be there for. And and I think we all have those stories of our old people, you know, and our children, you know, how tough it is for us to stay together with our parents and because of what's been going on with our lives politically by the U.S. government, their ideas of humanity, their ideas of freedom, their ideas of all these things that they promised us, but yet we have not yet to see them. And so I'm not really sure what my part is, you know, only that, you know, that back at home, and I go home quite a bit. I was out there at Sacred Stone, you know, this spring, and I prayed, and I seen what was going to happen, you know. And it's tremendous. I am so overwhelmed with joy because, you know, really this is kind of a prophecy. You know, these are all kinds of things that were taught to us, our elders and teachers, things that would come by our leaders, Crazy Horse, Sitting Bull. You know, the struggles we would have and the things we would be facing at this time, this age that we live in. And so we're at that age, you know, we're at the end of this age into a new one that's coming, you know. And me, I guess, you know, it's hard for me to talk about these things because they're so, it's so sacred. You know, they really are so saying it's so overwhelming and so spiritually powerful, you know, so wonderful that's what's happening, you know. But yet I know the fear fact.
We're losing you.
Oh, okay. I hear something. Yeah. Well, anyways, you know what's happening back home? Can I speak? Am I on yet, or should I talk?
Yeah, we lost you for a minute. You're okay now.
Okay. Anyways, I just want everyone to know back there. You know, the Wakatanka is with you. You seen that eagle come? And I know when times get, you know, they're really overwhelming. I'm with them about those veterans. You know, the women being kind of nervous about what they might do, you know. I want them veterans to know that if they cannot remain peaceful and remember not to be antagonists, but to really remember this is a prayerful thing. We got to... The only way we can break through this this darkness that, you know, our neighbors have against us, you know, is through prayer and loving them from the heart, you know, and taking those, taking and suffering and for the people, you know, even if it means being beaten down, you know, like, and remaining, not striking back, that is the most courageous thing the world has ever seen. And I have ever seen, you know. And it's so wonderful because, you know, we are really standing against something that really wants to bring down the whole of Earth. You know, a type of person that really has no respect for human life.
You know what?
You know, so this is kind of a... You know, it's a spiritual realization. You know, it's a flowering hoop blooming again, you know. That's what I see. That's what I'm experiencing spiritually, you know. I'm experiencing my nation coming together with help of people all over the world. I mean, how wonderful can that be? I mean, a few months ago, no one really knew nothing about us or how hard it's been for us for 500 years, you know. And now, you know, one of my friends, he was my closest friend and my headsman, his name was Gary Silk. His name was Buffalo Heart. I was with him the last 7 years of his life. He rode over 21,000 miles on a horse, praying, leading other warriors from all over down here in Canada to bring about unity. And before he died, he wanted to see that happen. This was what he dreamt for. And many other elders and old people have given their lives and their time for the people and to suffer and pray and, you know, really couldn't get involved in what other people are doing in, you know, the mainstream world, you know. It's just not something we can do, you know. And because we're called by God to do something, to be there for our people spiritually and to encourage them and to build them up and to let them understand the vision that God has for them, this destiny, this thing that Black Elk seen and that I've seen. And I mean, it's happening. It's really, and there's, you know, and I mean, so many times, like, Riona LaDuke and so many has been in the struggle to free our people, to bring this new message to a world that really don't have the right ideology of human life and existence with other living things, you know, that they need to go on with this advancement and our technology and stuff. We need a new existence. So this is what the Creator told Crazy Horse and all our leaders would come. And it's happening now. We're seeing it. And we're seeing, you know, people coming from the Southwest, our relatives, old lost ones who we once traded with and we were closer to, you know, with them and God, you know, at one time before all the wars. We're seeing them coming up to assist us as we assist them down there. We're seeing that interchange of idea. We're being more dialogical about communicating our feelings and being more open, not letting no one person or no group of people or whoever dominate the discussion of freedom or liberation. It's every individual person's right to share their feelings of what it means to be free for them and how they see it can happen. Without that insight and that engagement by others in this dialogical spiritual awakening, you know, that we're having right now, even those who are fighting against us, you know, they're having this. They're having dreams. They're being convicted by what they're doing. They know what they're doing is so wrong, and it's going to destroy this country. Not all of them, though, you know, but the ones in charge, they know. And so they sold out to corporate and the state. They're doing these kind of things that are so... they're not logical. You can't live on a planet like this, you know. There's no logic for any person to think that they can be at war with each other anymore on this planet, this sacred mother. Because we're all going to die if we keep this up, you know, inevitably. So we got to stop. We got to stand. We got to make our stand and resist those forces. They're led by workers of darkness, I guess. I mean, they have nothing better to do than make money. But money ain't what God put us here for, to make. God wants us to make our children men, make our young girls women, make our old men honored and our grandmas honored and other people's families honored. We want to take care of people and be at peace with people. So the heart of Wakatonka is with all of them back home. And all the ancestors, everyone's feeling them. We know they're there. But it's the prayer. It's the prayer and the humility to understand what our ancestors went through the same way. And all, when they knew death was there, inevitably and probably to happen. We don't know if that's what's going to happen. No, I don't think so. We're going to win. I know we're going to win. We're winning now. Even if they keep built that thing, they lose. We win. because we are stronger. We are united. We are coming into ourselves. We are fulfilling our destiny as we see ourselves mending and healing together. Now, back home at the camp, I would like to see everyone have so much unconditional love and tenderheartedness towards each other right now. Not to be cross or angry. Not to have any animosity against anyone out there. We don't need that there. We can't have that there. We need to understand what unity means in the spirit. That means that we're all there together for each other. For all of us to hold each other and comfort each other and to reassure each other that we're going to make it through to the other side, to where the light I seen awaiting, that's awaiting us. And Creator ain't going to let them hurt us. He's not. I mean, they've hurt us, but he ain't going to kill us. He ain't going to destroy a race of people. But I'll tell you, if I had my way, if I was home, and the time comes when this is all over and things done, you know, I believe that every one of those non-Indian protesters should be honored in such a great way, and they should all get memberships back home. With their families getting all funded, that everything we get, they should get. So we need to really think about, you know, revitalize, recreating, helping our children to recreate real, authentic, traditional governments, tribal governments, based on traditional values, you know. I mean, this is what this is about, too, you know, about breaking away from U.S. and their domineering ways, you know, their authoritarian ways to control our lives and not to free us. But we deserve to be free. The Lord God Almighty, even their God, knows that we deserve to be free. And there ain't no race on earth in the 21st century that has suffered as long as us. Just like Christ himself did, to be free, to be redeemed, you know. God is redeeming us. And that's what we need to take out of this, that we come together, that we really feel the presence of the Creator with us collectively as we sing, as we do all those old things that brings worship to God again, you know, to our Creator, one Creator of all mankind. Of all living things, you know, and see, the thing is you know, there's nothing, you know, I work with men like Vine Deloria. I gave him a poem that I got in a dream when I was in college. I got a standing ovation from about 500 people or more for it, and Vine was standing by me, and Mr. Deloria really appreciated it. It was called Ghost Dancer During the Midnight Moon. And I gave that to him. It was the first time I ever spoke to anybody. I was an addict. I was lost. I lost my family. I ruined my life. But I found my Creator and my people.
Hey, I hate to interrupt. Yeah. We're running out of steam. Tell folks who you are again before we leave.
Wombly Okichize, or Kichiza, either way. And I'm from Rosebud, South Dakota. I'm a Rubidoux also. I'm a Moore also. I mean, on my birth name. But I don't use those no more, you know. But
yeah.
It's Wombly. And, you know, people back home know me, but... You know,
Wombly, thanks a lot. They're cutting.